Amen. All right. Well, like Pastor said, good to be back. I was away for Christmas in Indiana with Kaylee's family. Been a little bit under the weather, so bear with me with my voice. Lord willing, I'll be able to get through it. But if you would with me, turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Very beloved book of the Bible from the Apostle Paul. And we will look at just a few verses to be brief tonight. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 27. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. I pray that you would bless this message. I pray that you would use these words, Father, that your truths would come forth. And Lord, that we would be drawn closer to you even tonight, Lord, as we approach this new year. And Lord, we are grateful for what you have done this past year. And God, as we come to tonight, I pray that you would just help us to have a vision of faith towards the new year, that you would help us to be grateful for this past year, but to be, Lord, moving forward in faith, Lord, that we could do more for you, that we would love you more, and Lord, that we would be even more expectant and hopeful, Lord, towards the day when you will return. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Most of us know what happened in 2001, 9/11, obviously, but that following year, 2002, right? That's when our nation decided to prepare for war, right? So there's stories from many generals and many of the upper echelon military people from that time of preparation for what was going on around, obviously, preparing for war. Our nation had not been in a conflict like that, especially a foreign conflict, in decades. Minor spats and things like that. But it's said that many, even some of our highest trained special forces like Navy SEALs, etc., they had to have people come in. And people who were part of Vietnam, who were a part of the Korean War, even some as far back to World War II, that had to help them prepare and know about what was going to happen in these foreign conflicts, to prepare them, to give them some preparation ideas, some strategy, all these different things that were needed. And I find in this passage here that there are some parting words that are given by Paul. And obviously these vets that were given these advice to these men who were going to go over for the first time to this conflict, they weren't able to go themselves. They were off the field, as you could say. They weren't going to be in the battle. They had spent their time already. They had already been in their firefight. But they were giving the instructions. They were passing on the knowledge, the experience, what they had for the next generation to go forward. And we see here in Philippians that Paul, he's giving sort of his last will and testament, you could say. He's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen. We know later in other portions of Scripture that he does end up being killed, right? That he ends up being beheaded in Rome. And here, he's in prison. And he gives this charge. And this is obviously the beginning of the book of Philippians. But it lays out his goal that is in mind. And as we read in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So he's exhorting those who believe, exhorting those who say that they're a part of the kingdom of God to live like it, to be conducting their life in such a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we know in reality that it can never be truly up to the standard of the ultimate sacrifice of what Christ made, right? It cannot truly ever be up to that. But that's the aspiration. That's the standard. That's what we strive towards, right? And the idea that he's giving here in this word conversation is an idea of a citizen. We know that, right? That we're a citizen of heaven. We're not just a citizen of our native country, but we're a citizen of heaven. And we are to represent. So I want to speak tonight on preparing for the unprecedented. Preparing for the unprecedented. When I gave that illustration about that conflict that was happening, these men were preparing for the unprecedented. And maybe over the last couple of years, you're like me, where you have grown tired of maybe hearing that word unprecedented. It seems like everything is unprecedented. But in many times, it's true. And I'm sure that next year will be unprecedented in many ways. Obviously, in one sense, we haven't lived it yet, right? We haven't experienced it. We don't know what's going to come our way. So what are we called to do? We're called to prepare. We're called to plan. And this is a little bit of what Paul is giving to the Philippians here. And as you can tell in the context of what he's saying here is that if you read down verse 27, you're preparing to serve, to continue on, to do the ministry without me, without my eyes on you. I'm going to have people that's reporting to me, it seems to say here, that are going to tell him what happens, to tell him what's going on. But he's absent from the actual ministry there in Philippi. And he's praying for them that they're going to work just as hard, that they're going to strive to be holy and to do all these different things, even as he's away. So I want to take three takeaways tonight from this short passage here about preparing. Excuse me. Number one is to stand. Number one is to stand. You'll see in verse 27. Let's read down here. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. What's to stand? We know what that means. To hold fast, to be faithful, as God is faithful, right? We can be faithful because we know our God is faithful. He's enduring. He's given us, he can give us and gives us the strength to press on, to keep going, because we know it's an important ministry, right? It's important because the gospel is important. It's important because Christ and what he's done for us is so much. And all of these things that we have to withstand, they pale in comparison to what Christ had to withstand. And it pales in comparison to the glory that we will see in heaven one day. Excuse me. Next point, striving, striving. So the next part of the verse you see here, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. To strive, that's to work together. That's not the idea of strife, like conflict in that sense. It's a working together is what he's talking about. Working together for the gospel. That's one of the things that God has called us to do. We're to stand, not to stand alone. A man who stands alone, he can be surrounded on all sides, right? But to stand together. The church is what God has called us to do. I don't know where you're at. I know most of the people in this room, but maybe you've come in here tonight and you've not been very faithful to church, or you've in and out of church. Excuse me. But Christ died for the church, so it's an important thing to be a part of the church. It's not the church that saves you, but it does help you. It encourages you. It sustains your walk in Christ. It's a body that builds you up, that brings you closer to Christ. So we're to stand, we're to strive. And lastly, not one that we like to hear very often, verse number 29, For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. Suffer for his sake. It's not something we like to hear very often, but Christ has called us to die with him, to suffer for his sake. And that can take on many different things. We know even from the life of Paul and the life of others that suffering can be different things. It can be, you know, living a life that's impoverished. It can be a life of poor health. It can be a life of strained relationships. It can be a lot of different things. And many of these things are causing us to be more and more conformed to the image of his son. More and more like Christ. So what he's calling us to do is not to buck at this suffering. Yes, it's hard. That's why the prior things are important as well. Because we stand on the truth. We stand with Christ. And then we're to strive together. You need the church with suffering, right? You need someone to come alongside of you. You need someone to encourage you, to bear your burdens, right? So, in this preparation, we need these three things. We need to stand, we need to strive together, and we need to be prepared to suffer, to suffer. This idea of the gospel, the evangelion is what they called it back then. In ancient roots, it had the idea of, as we usually say, good news, right? It was said sometimes that there would be a runner that would go forward with the message. And he would be telling of this king won this battle and he's coming to your city. And if you are a part of his kingdom, you get to partake in all of the blessings that that battle imparted. But if he comes to this town and you're not a part of his kingdom, you're not willing to commit to his kingdom, you're not willing to be a part of his kingdom, what would that mean? That would mean judgment. That would mean punishment. That would mean something would happen that you wouldn't like, right? So, this gospel that's coming that we need to stand for, we need to strive for, and we need to be willing to suffer for, it's good news. Because Christ is coming back. He's coming again. That's the good news. Are you ready? Is that good news to you because you're willing to be a part of his kingdom? You're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is he going to show up and it's going to be the king that conquered your world, the king that conquered Satan's world that you didn't know that you were a part of or you weren't sure? You need to be ready. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of his kingdom and receive all of his blessings and all of his benefits. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you would use these words, Lord, even brief they may be. Lord, I thank you for your word, that it lives and breathes and it abides forever. And Lord, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Pray that you would use it. I pray that you would bless the other preachers that are preaching tonight. And Lord, we thank you for this time again together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that charge, brother. You know, that's the way it is as we enter the new year. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know.